Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to Christ Community Chapel. So glad that you have chosen to be here this morning. I love that you're here. Welcome those of you at our e-service, those of you who are tuning in online. Welcome. Well, it's 22 days until Christmas, and the beginning of that video kind of showed what it's like for many of us. It seems like it's a mad dash from right now till Christmas, with presents to buy and gatherings to attend and families to see. And for most of us, it would be great if we could just slow up from time to time. And we want to help you do that. And one of the ways we want to help you do that is what we call Advent Interrupted. We did this last year. And what that means is that every day from now until Christmas, you'll be texted sometime during the day. And that text will just remind you of the beauty and the wonder and the mystery that Jesus has come. And what we intend to do is help just that text slow you up just for a minute. So this is the way you sign up. So get ready, and we're going to throw it on the screen. Take out your phones, and you text Advent to the number 55498. Just the word Advent to the number 55498, and then you will be signed up. If you didn't get your phone out in time, you can go to the Next Steps area, and they will help you sign up. Please do it. I think it'll help. All right. Well, we start our Advent series this week, and this will be the first of four messages, the last one being on Christmas Eve. And this message is about the absolute miracle that we can know God. The absolute miracle that we can know God, that he has revealed himself. Now, whenever you talk about knowing anyone, you kind of have to define it because there are different levels of knowing someone. On Father's Day, my daughter, Becca, bought us tickets to go see one of our favorite comedians, Nate Bargatze. And so she and I went down to Cleveland and we watched his show, and it was great. He's a very funny guy. And if you were to ask me, "Do you know Nate Bargatze?" I would say, "Well, yeah, to a degree. I mean, I know he's from Tennessee. I know he's married for the last 17 years. I know he's got a daughter, right? And I know him better than some of you because you just heard his name for the first time." But then if I said, if I got a chance to go to dinner with him, to spend an evening at a restaurant, which I didn't, but if I had, then of course I would know him much better. But if I was ever in Tennessee and he invited me to come and live with his family for a week, well, that's a whole different level. Because I would see him in dozens of different situations. I would get to see how he really interacted with his daughter and his wife. I would see whether he helped to cook or helped clean up, if he was one that served or waited to be served. Right? I would know all kinds of, and if I, when I left his house, if you came to me and you said, hey, do you know Nate Bargatze? I would say, well, yeah, I do. I know him better than most. You see, it's like concentric circles. You have the knowledge of knowing him at the show, and then the restaurant, and of course, the home. In the verses that we had read to us from the book of Hebrews, the author says that there are different levels of knowing God. Let me read those three verses again. This is what it says. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Those verses are magnificent. Do not let this be the last time you read those verses in this season. Pick up your Bible tomorrow morning and read those three verses. They are just absolutely great. But he starts out by saying, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke. Okay, hard stop right there. There may be no more important sentence that's ever been written in the entire history of the world than that sentence. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke. Because we would know nothing about God had he not chosen to speak, to reveal himself. If you had an ant farm at home, and I don't know why I was thinking about ant farms, but I looked it up, and this is what an ant farm looks like. This is actually an ad for an ant farm starter kit. For an ant farm starter kit, you get everything you need. You get the ants, you get the sand, you get the acrylic kind of container. Above, like where the sand is, there's an area that's green. It looks like there's a little ant water tower there with a place that they said was a foraging place where you could put ant food, right? If you had an ant farm at home, those ants could live their whole lives. Generations of ants could come and go, and they would never, ever know that you even existed. They would never know. God could have made us like that, where we would never know. We would be completely in the dark. You know, whenever I'm in the dark and I think that I might not be alone, I always have three questions. And these are going to be my 3 points. These are the three questions I think we need to ask about God. And these are the three questions that the first three verses of Hebrews says we can know the answer to about God. The first question is anyone there? Now, if I'm in the dark and I think that I might not be alone, and I don't know if you've ever done that, but you say, hey, is anyone there? Right? That's the first question. It's a question of loneliness. Am I alone or is somebody else here? That's the first question. It's not the last question because the second question comes right after that. And the second question is this, what do you want? That's a question of fear. Are you here to hurt me or to help me? Is it a good thing or a bad thing that I'm not alone? And that leads to the third question, which is who are you? Who are you? What does it mean that you have come? You know, just like there are different like levels, concentric circles of knowing somebody. There's the show, there's the restaurant, there's the home. These questions work in the same way, right? Is anyone there? What do you want? Who are you? All right, let's start with the first question. Is anyone there? That's the question of the show. There's a German philosopher named Martin Heidegger who was credited with asking the question, why is there something rather than nothing at all? Why is there something rather than nothing at all? It's like he looked around and he asked the obvious question, which is, why does anything exist? The psalmist in Psalm 19, this is the way he answers that question. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The psalmist says, in answer to the question, why is there something rather than nothing? The psalmist says, is the heavens are declaring the glory of God from the rising of the sun to the setting. God is thundering in the midst of the thunder, saying, I am here. I am here. Right? So that's why you'd think that if there was an ant, let's go back to the ant farm. If ants had the ability to reason, it doesn't seem like it would take very long to have a particularly smart ant ask that question. Say, why is there something rather than nothing? Go over, knock on the acrylic, look at the sand, go up to the foraging area and go, there's an ant water tower, right? Why is this? And the question would be not only why is there something rather than nothing, but why is it seem like everything's designed perfectly for ants? It seems like somebody made a world just for ants. In 1973, there's a physicist, an astrophysicist, cosmologist named Dr. Brandon Carter, who presented a paper in Krakow, Poland, to some of the most distinguished physicists and astrophysicists in the world. And the name of his paper was titled The Anthropic Principle. The word anthropic comes from the Greek word anthropos, which means man. And Dr. Carter, this had been a result of years of research where he had been doing measurements on things like the force of gravity, the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, electromagnetic radiation, and a dozen other measurements. And what Dr. Carter said in the paper was that every single measurement of this dozen different measurements had to be absolutely precise. If it was off by the smallest degree, by 0.05%, the universe could not exist. What he said is that if gravity was 0.05%, a little bit stronger, or 0.05%, a little bit weaker, the universe would not exist. It's like Brandon Carter was the really smart ant who looked around and said, it seems like everything is perfectly designed. It's like this world was made for us. In fact, that's why he called it the anthropic principle, because what he said was this: the universe seems like it was designed with a single purpose in mind, human beings, you. He's saying the same thing the psalmist said. What he's saying is the heavens declare the glory of God. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, God is thundering in the thunder. I am here. In answer to the question, is anyone there? God says, I am. That's the first question, but it's not the last question because it leads to a second question right away. And the second question is, what do you want? What do you want? And that's a question that's laced with fear. Right? Are you, God, are you here to help me or hurt me? Is it a good thing or a bad thing that we are not alone? I think it's interesting that our culture has a fascination that we are not alone in the universe. That's why there are movies that come out every year about alien invasions, right? I looked it up. I just Googled, alien invasion movies 2023. And the first movie that popped up was titled, No One Can Help You, right? No one can help you. If you're going to ask Hollywood, what does an alien want? You don't even have to ask because aliens are always hostile, it seems like. I said that, on Thursday night, and I said it on in the first service, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, there was one, E.T. was not hostile. And I was going, okay, you got me, right? But every other, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a superior intellect, life force. They come down. It is not good that they're there. They're not there to help us. It'd be interesting to see an alien, invasion where they wanted to use their superior intellect to help us flourish, right? They were benevolent. I would suppose that would not make a very good movie, right? But that's what we have when we look at God in the Bible. You know what the Hebrew writer says, is long ago at many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. The prophets were always answering the question, what does God want? What does God want? And the prophets would tell the people. And over again, what you find is that God wants people to flourish. God wants good for you, not bad, to help you, not to harm you. And it's over and over and over again. In Exodus chapter 15, when God brings the people of Israel out of slavery, in Exodus chapter 15, he says this through his prophet Moses, tell the people, if they follow my instructions, they will have none of the diseases that are in Egypt. If they follow my instructions, they will have none of the diseases that were in Egypt. And then God gives them dietary rules, what to eat, what not to eat. He tells them how to deal with infectious diseases. Oh, and by the way, what he says to them, the way to deal with infectious diseases was to quarantine, right? The exact same thing we've tried to do with COVID, right? And that's what God told them. He told them how to wash, to protect themselves against germs, even though they didn't know what a germ was. And then he takes Moses and he takes him up on Mount Sinai and he gives them the Ten Commandments. Right, just imagine an alien who would invade our world and would help us deal with diseases that we did not know how to cure. Imagine an alien force coming and giving us 10 simple rules that if we followed them, they would lead to peace and stability and flourishing. And that's what we have with God and the prophets. God shows up, and it's not just that he says, I am here. He says, it's a good thing. I am here to help you and not to hurt you. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Old Testament, it's the last book of Moses. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is kind of a summary. At the end, God tells Moses, have the people divide into two huge crowds and take them to a mountain. It was called Mount Ebal. And he said, there's a valley in between. I want you to put half the people on this slope and the other half of the people on this slope. And this crowd, I want them to shout over to the other crowd what the blessings are if they follow my instructions. And I want this crowd to shout over to that crowd what the curses are going to be if they don't follow my instructions. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says through Moses, tell the people this, I have set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. And then he says this, that your children may live long and flourish. Right? Listen, if you want to know the answer to the first question, is anyone out there? You just have to go out tonight, if tonight is clear, and look up at the stars, because God is thundering through the thunder. He is declaring his glory. He is telling you, I'm here. If you want to know if God is for you or against you, if you want to know whether he's here to help you or to hurt you, read the prophets, right? But then these verses say, if you really want to know God, then you have to know Jesus. And this is what he says. This is my last point. Verse 2 and 3. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You hear what that says? That is crazy. It is hard to even wrap our heads around it. What he says is the same God who created the universe in all of its precision, the God who said gravity will be this strong and no stronger, electromagnetic radiation will be exactly like this. That God who thought through all the precision to create this universe. The God who called Moses up on Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments. That same God is the one the angel goes to Mary and says, he's coming to you. And he's going to be born a baby. And you're to call his name Emmanuel. In the midst of all the silliness of Christmas, all the buying and wrapping and giving of presents, the scavenger hunts, the traditions, the family feasts, all of that, in the midst of all of that is the greatest mystery the world has ever known, that God has come. So that you could know him, right? Oh, it's so hard. It's hard to even wrap our heads around those of us who've been Christians for decades. It was hard for the disciples. After spending 3 years with Jesus, in John chapter 14, the disciple Philip turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, show us the Father and it's enough for us. Show us the Father and it's enough for us. And Jesus, infinitely patient, says to Philip, oh, Philip, have I been with you so long and you still don't know that when you have seen me, you've seen the Father? What's he saying? He's saying, I'm exact representation. You ever heard somebody say, oh, I wish I could be a fly on the wall? You know what? They say that when somebody goes into a room with somebody else, and you're going, ooh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in there. What you're saying is, I would love to see what those people are like unfiltered. What happens in that house in an unfiltered way, right? This is what we get with Jesus. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, which means that Jesus is the unfiltered version of God, so we get to see him. It's one thing for a prophet to say, God is merciful. God is merciful. It kind of stays up in your head. It's another thing to see Jesus with a man who's a leper, a man who's been untouched for months, maybe years, who during that time, whenever he'd come within 50 feet of anybody, would have to shout out, unclean, unclean, stay away, stay away. And Jesus walks all the way up to him, reaches out, touches him, and says, be clean. It's one thing to say that God is merciful. It's another thing to see Jesus do that. It's one thing for a prophet to say God has compassion. It's another thing to see Jesus with a woman from Samaria who'd been married 5 times, been rejected 5 times, her heart shattered 12 different ways, and have Jesus look her in the eyes and say, God has not forgotten you. God pursues you. God loves you because I have not forgotten you. And I pursue you. And I love you. You see, it's one thing for me to tell you that God loves you. It's another thing for you to see Jesus hanging on a cross for you. Which is why Paul, the apostle, probably his hands were shaking, trembling when he wrote the words, but God shows his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, listen, this is what's true. This is what Christmas is about. Listen, if I started out with Nate Bargatze. If you want the show, if you want to know God as the show, just walk outside tonight and look up. All right, that's the show. If you want to get to know God like restaurant knowledge, then read the prophets. But if you want to know who he really is, you have to look at Jesus. You have to come to know Jesus. And the most wonderful thing in the world is that you can. Because Jesus has come. Emmanuel, right? God with us. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I love that you did not leave us in the dark. We could be like so many ants that would have never have any knowledge of you, but you just decided to speak, to reveal yourself. And I'm so glad that you are for us and not against us, that it's a good thing, not a bad thing, that we are not alone. And thank you for the prophets that show us that over and over again, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus. That every time we read a story in the Gospels, we can be like a fly on the wall. We're seeing you unfiltered. And I pray that as we do that leading up to Christmas, that you will show yourself more and more, reveal yourself more and more to all of us for our good, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.